Hello everybody, we would like to welcome everyone listening to this podcast, hoping you'll find this helpful.
In today's episode, we'll be putting you on the path to better decision making.
First of all, how important is it to be making good decisions?
Well, at times in our life, we find that we're often put in challenging situations or faced with opportunities that we don't know how to address. For example, choosing which college to go to, which major to pursue, or what jobs to apply to. During those times, it's important to be able to make good decisions so we can pave our own way to success.
So, let's have a look at how we make decisions in general. There's the neuroscience approach where we basically make decisions depending on which choice gives a greater number of neuron spikes in the brain. That's basically the generation of a signal in the brain to transmit certain information. A simple example would be choosing a container full of juice rather than an empty one because it gives a louder alarm to the brain and so is the clear winner. When choices are close in value, we recalibrate our scale to represent relative difference, so we still choose the one higher in value. However, this system often gets overwhelmed, leading to irrational decisions because this process takes up a significant amount of energy, and our brain is wired to function in a way that minimizes effort needed to complete a task. As a result, the brain may prioritize efficiency over accuracy when making a challenging decision through making the decision in less time and consuming less energy rather than processing it accurately. In the juice container example, this could be the lack of precision in the scale recalibration process, leading to a wrong choice but made in minimal time.
Another approach to the decision-making process comes in the form of the reinforcement learning theory. This theory utilizes a utilitarian approach where our brain tends to make the decision that seemingly maximizes our self-interest. To do so, we assign values to each decision based on the predicted outcome of that decision. If we predict that the decision will result in a reward, then its value increases in comparison with the decision that we predict will result in a reprimand or punishment. Because this is a subconscious process, it is much more difficult to recognize, thus making that decision initially uncontrollable. For example, if a child were given the choice between eating a healthy salad or a tasty pizza for the first time, they would probably choose the pizza since they predict that it would taste better, therefore giving them a better reward. However, an adult who knows the importance of healthy eating and who has witnessed the consequences of unhealthy eating would choose the salad since they know that the reward for doing so would be higher. As a result, the values of our decisions may sometimes reflect prediction errors if the brain wrongly assumes the predicted outcome of a situation. In other words, our brain sometimes assumes a certain outcome for a decision that turns out to be false or inaccurate, which causes us to make bad decisions, and we refer to these as prediction errors. Nonetheless, these errors in judgment help modify the values of the decisions to reflect the reality of the situation more accurately. As one makes more and more decisions, they're exposed to the reality of how these decisions are going to affect them. So, if they are faced with similar decisions in the future, they can rely on their past experiences to more accurately predict the results of each decision and, in turn, make better decisions.
Now we can talk about how to actually make the right decision. A famous path is the PRO-ACT method. PR stands for problem, which basically means knowing the actual decision you need to make and ruling out unsupported assumptions. For example, is it truly a choice of which gym to join, or is it whether to join a gym or pursue a healthier diet? Next comes O for objectives, and that is clearly stating where you want your decisions to take you and the goals you want to achieve. For instance, defining the characteristics you expect in an employee to make recruitment easier. Then there's A for alternatives, meaning you should consider various ways of achieving your goal because otherwise there wouldn't even be a decision to make. After that comes C for consequences, meaning that you need to see which alternatives best fit the plan needed for your objectives. This could be through judging past experiences and gathering relevant information on the issue. An example would be assessing results of leaving your corporate job, like what would happen to the rest of the family if you took such a decision. Following that comes T for trade-offs, which pretty much just means setting priorities for objectives as they can sometimes contradict each other. For instance, you want your career to flourish, but it's more important to spend quality time with family, so you decide to cut back on office hours.
There are three more elements in the PRO-ACT method that significantly impact our decision-making process, so we need to consider each one in order to make better decisions. The first revolves around uncertainty, since one can never be sure of the outcomes of the decisions we're making. To remedy this, we need to consider the likelihood of certain events happening and assess the consequences of each. In doing so, we prepare ourselves to face any obstacles should they arise, instead of being too overwhelmed to react. For example, in deciding whether or not to attend university, we have to think of the pros and cons of each alternative. If we choose not to continue our education, we'd be saving a sizable sum of money and can use our free time to kickstart our career or pursue our hobbies. However, we'd be limiting ourselves to job opportunities that have lower average incomes than those of college graduates and would have a hard time advancing our career. If we choose to attend college, we'd be paying more money and sacrificing time we could have used working. In return, our advanced knowledge and skills would help us progress more quickly in our professional lives and allow us to make higher incomes on average than a high school graduate. The next thing we need to consider is our individual risk tolerance. Since different decisions involve taking different risks, we must determine how willing we are to take certain risks, and based on that, determine which decision we're most comfortable with making. Finally, it is crucial to consider linked decisions, or decisions whose results affect other decisions in the future, and know how to properly handle them. Since most of our decisions impact our future and are linked over time, it is necessary to be able to make connections between events in order to better understand how one affects the other. When it comes to decision making, we need to isolate time-sensitive issues first while gathering relevant information for problems that might arise in the future. Aside from these elements, there are several tips that one can utilize in order to make the right decision. First of all, you need to focus your thinking where it matters most. Not all the elements in the PROACT method are equally as important for all decisions, so it's useful to gain a general understanding of the problem at hand and pinpoint where exactly in the process you need to stop and deliberate more carefully. Second, if it's unclear where the problem stems from, it could be useful to reconfigure the problem in different ways, whether visually in the form of graphs, charts, or diagrams, or simply rewording the problem several times. This is useful in that it simplifies the process of data interpretation by displaying visuals that are often easier to comprehend than words. Rephrasing the problem is useful in that it reveals new ways of looking at the problem and solving it. For instance, if you're confused about what you should work as, ask yourself what subjects you enjoy studying and doing assignments for. Ask yourself what skills you want to develop and what salary you want to be making in 5 or 10 years' time. All these questions approach the original problem from different angles to help simplify it. Sometimes, one's thinking is confined by the word choice used to explain the problem, but changing how the problem is phrased may help us view the problem in different contexts and, in turn, solve it more effectively. Subsequently, we need to be on the lookout for psychological traps that may hinder our rational thought and negatively affect our decision-making.
Now, let's actually see into what makes us make a wrong decision. Three main reasons were claimed to be the cause of our wrongdoing. First, there's a concept of like versus lust, and our confusion between the two is basically why we sometimes make unwise choices. We need to have a clear distinction between liking and wanting, as wanting could just be the thrill of the chase that blinds us from how informed our choice really is. It's simply like getting addicted to drugs, as the person wants more and more of the substance that brings pleasure and releases dopamine. It gives the brain positive reinforcement, and so it wants it more. Next comes the idea of how deprivation causes craving. We tend to want what we don't have more than usual, so it decreases our ability of thinking straight. It's just human nature. Another significant explanation is an effect known as the what the hell effect. It's basically what happens when we make one mistake, so we just keep going in a wrong path because we don't think it matters anyway. Kind of like what we do when we mess up our diet on the first day. We just say what the hell and postpone the summer body for next year.
For those of you running businesses, learning how to prevent bad decisions from happening is imperative to your professional success and credibility. For a bad decision to happen, two conditions must be present. The first is that a person or group made an error in judgment, and the second is that the decision process failed to correct that error. In the first case, there are several red flag conditions that can help us determine why an error would occur in the first place. Number one on that list would be misleading experiences, which would pose a problem if one were to misrecognize a pattern and make a decision accordingly. Moreover, the person making the decision could have been influenced by the pervading emotions he or she felt at the time, making them ignore their rational judgment. The second is misleading prejudgments, which are usually based on previous decisions. However, these presumptions are often not applicable to the case at hand, and more often than not, lead to you making the wrong call. Third in our list is misguided self-interest, which threatens the validity of one's decision if the interests of the individual are not in line with their responsibilities. Finally, we have inappropriate emotional attachments, whether they be to people, places, or possessions. These attachments are often very strong and prevent us from making the best decision. For example, a manager could find themselves unable to fire an employee with low productivity and a lacking work ethic just because they are fond of them and enjoy their presence. As such, it is important that we control our emotional attachments and separate them from our decision-making process in order to make the most rational and beneficial decision. The first step in doing so is to recognize that these emotional attachments exist in the first place, so that we are aware of their potential effects on our decisions. It's helpful to consult with an unbiased party about decisions we're confused about, so as to get a clearer view of the problem and assess it from afar.
How then can we prevent ourselves from making bad decisions? Well, the answer is simpler than it seems. First of all, we need to gather and analyze data and make use of our previous experiences. The data needs to be accurate and relevant to the decision at hand so we can make sure that the risk we're taking is calculated and not purely random. Next, we need to make sure that we are looking at the problem from all angles. To do so, we can consult with people whose judgment we trust in order to get new input and find weaknesses that we weren't aware of, which would help us form new perspectives on the issue.
Apart from that, any organization needs governance when it comes to decision making. An entity must be responsible for revising decisions and spotting errors along the process since they are bound to happen. Finally, it's important to monitor the decisions you make by following up on the results and taking note of the strengths and weaknesses of each one. That way, you can quickly respond to any negative repercussions of the decision and more easily make similar decisions in the future.
That's all we have for today on decision making. We hope you enjoyed our podcast and found the information useful.